wasn't sure who I was, or sure who I had told who I was, or who people thought I was. There was a lot of confusion. We had been going to this same church camp for probably 10 years, and as we've been there a long time, there were some people that started to ask some questions to see. They thought maybe I was a brother with somebody. So I have this friend, Jake. Got a picture of him, hopefully, here. If you can't tell, my beard's a little shorter, you know, so I look a little different. I'm in the middle. Jake's on the left, and Danny's on the right here. And, I mean, you give everybody the same matching T-shirt. Everybody's got a short beard. Maybe everybody looks the same. I don't know. You put a hat on. But throughout the week, Jake and I on the left, people were, we'd be having conversation, and campers would come up to us all the time and go, Are you guys brothers? And last year, just this last year being there, I decided I'd just answer yes. So, yeah, every time people would be like, you guys brothers? Yeah. Which Jake's dad, Joel, is the dean of the camp. And they're like, you're Joel's son? Oh, man, this is getting deep fast. Like, I knew this was a slippery slope. I'm like, yeah, you know, Callie. So it's me, then Callie, then Jake, then Liam and Mara. You know, you can't forget your siblings' names as you're mentioning this, and you better know the order that you go in. And I'm like, man, I'm diving in deep here. And so this goes on throughout the week, and right away, Joel heard about this, and he was like, he was ready to squash this. So he gets up, and I'm helping to lead some of the, like, the initial parts of camp, and so he's welcoming everybody in. And he goes, let's just start from the beginning. Jake is my son. Callie is my daughter. Liam is my son. Mara is my daughter. And just flat out says, Adam is not. And just like squashes it. And then goes on with all the rules of camp and everything, welcomes us in. And then it's my turn to get up next after him and tell him what's going on next. And I just get up there and go, man, what, always a joker. Thanks, Dad. And kept going. And this just spun everything into chaos then, because everyone was convinced I was also Joel's son and Jake is my brother. And we went on, and later in the week, somebody even comes up and goes, so you guys are brothers. Are you twins? I have to be nearly 10 years older than Jake. So I don't know what this, like, how this affected Jake. My ego is like, yeah. So, of course, my answer is, yeah, we're twins. And this girl's mind had just, like, exploded. Like, she's known this family for years, and she's like, how did I not know? Like, I've never seen you around. And, man, the confusion that went into this. But there was a day when I got called out. One of the staff members just, and they know this is all happening, they just go, you know you can't be a Mitchell, right? I'm like, what do you mean? You can't be a Mitchell. You don't hug everyone. The family, all six of them, every time they see each other, they hug. All the boys always give their mom a kiss on the forehead, which I'm like, probably better not go that far to try to convince everybody. But like, they embrace each other like every time they see each other. And they call me, like, you don't fit. You don't love like they do. And I was like, man. So then I'm like trying to, hey, awkwardness, I didn't grow up hugging. But it was very obvious to the people that honestly knew the family that I didn't fit in. There was character traits within me that showed I may look similar, but I don't have the same character traits that they did. And I think these traits, these characteristics, even if we want to call them birthmarks, show as evidence to what family you're a part of. And today, as we look at 1 John, we're going to look a little bit at these character traits, this heritage that we come from, is we're children of God. We ought to bear some of the same birthmarks of God as a child of God. And so for the true believer, I think we need to be able to see some of these birthmarks that are a part of our lives. They ought to shine through because this is who we are. This is the family that we're a part of. And so we ought to be living out some of these characteristics, these birthmarks as children of God. So before we dive into God's word, we're gonna stop and pray. God, we thank you that we have your word, that we can hold fast to your word, that we can study it, learn from it, that we can learn about you and know you better. God, I ask that you would help us to see where maybe we can do better about showing these traits and where we can live out our lives better as a child of God. God, we love you. love you so much. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to be picking up in 1 John chapter 5, right at the beginning, verse 1. So if you've got your Bibles with you, we're going to throw them up on the screen as well. But we're going to be looking at 1 through 5 as we look at this idea of having these birthmarks as a child of God. 1 John 5, 1 through 5 says, "Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of him. By this, we know that we love the children of God when we love God and we obey his commands. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commands, and his commandments are not burdensome. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God?" So as we're going to look through some of these traits that we can pull out of these verses, and we're going to see these birthmarks, as we're going to call them. But it may also cause us to question, what if I don't show them well? What if I don't maybe show these birthmarks the way I should? I think we understand, too, that as we grow with God, God continues to change our lives, and we live more and more like him. And so these will continue to come out of us more and more as we grow closer to him. So the very first one that we see as a birthmark of a child of God is love. So for those that love God, that are born of him, are also going to love him. So we'll read kind of verses 1 and 2 there that really points out this idea of love. It says, "Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of him. And by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and we obey his commands." So in this growing relationship with God, as we've surrendered our lives to him, hopefully we see ourselves loving him more and more, especially as we learn about who he is, we understand who he is, we're building this relationship with him. And I think there's a few ways that we grow in this love and this relationship with God. Is, first of all, we can kind of start with prayer. Prayer is this communication with God, this talking with him, a conversation with him. And it shouldn't be the once a month text that just says, "How you doing? Good. Later. Like, check in with you next month." But like, this is like the best friend kind of conversation that's just throughout your day, constantly checking in, constantly having conversation, letting him know, what are my burdens? What are the hurts? What are the things that are going on in my life? But also on the flip side of that is asking God for guidance. Like, you have those people that are the closest to you that when you have things going on and you just don't know what to do, where to go, you give them a call and say, "Hey, can you give me some advice here? I'm at a tough spot." Those are the conversations that we have with God, that we seek his advice, asking him to guide us through those things. Another way that we deepen that relationship is through reading God's word. That as we dive into his word, we begin to understand who he is, because we're reading all about him, we're understanding him better. So I don't know if you've joined with us this year as we've been trying to kind of push the New Testament reading plan, to ask you to join with us in reading through the New Testament this year. And you can always jump on at any moment and do that. And if you've gotten behind, just keep up and keep going. But I think there's different things that we learn about God as we read, that we learn about his heart better. We understand how he approaches people better. And this is just my convictions. This is, as I've been reading through it, we're just finishing Matthew. And as I'm like reading this weekly, I'm blown away that Jesus has compassion over and over and over again. And maybe that's because I lack in compassion, but it's been really convicting to me that even when he's worn out and he's mourning the loss of a friend or whatever, he turns around the next second and he says, he sees these people lost and he has compassion. And I'm learning about God's compassion as I'm reading his word. And that's been super convicting to me. But like, I'm growing in this relationship and seeing that these traits need to be a part of who I am, because it's a part of who God is. And so I need to have that to be able to show that love as well. And if you've been around Journey for a very, very long amount of time, you know that we're probably going to ask you about your next steps as well. That we're going to be asking you to get plugged into something. We want you to get involved and connected with people. And so we're asking you to maybe get to be a part of some sort of community group, either a life group, a D group, a Bible study, We have different ways to get connected, but it means getting connected with a few people, getting in smaller groups of people where you actually get to know each other. We get to give encouragement, maybe even correction if it's necessary, but these are the people that sharpen you, that are there for you in your hard times. When you have a burden on your heart, the group gathers with you and they have the same burden. They are with you in all things. They help you, they comfort you, and they're with you through it all. And I think sometimes this can seem a little intimidating to let people in that close. Like, what if people know me outside of this little gathering? What if people know my life behind the scenes? It's easy for me to say, well, I'm a private person. I don't want people to know certain things. Or maybe we've opened up to others before and we've been hurt through that. And I'm sorry if people have misused those relationships in the past. But as I read this section of Scripture, it talks about us loving God, but also loving those who have been born of God. And that is really convicting to think that we're not just left at this spot where loving God is enough. We're also called to love those who have been born of God. That means loving other believers. That we're called to love God and love others. And maybe, I don't know if you all have... So Jake is not my brother, right? But I do have three sisters. This is all true, okay? Now, I have to preface everything I say with that. But I have three sisters, and growing up, we didn't always get along very well. That sometimes we were at each other. Sometimes I got in trouble once. I walked through the house from school, just headed in the door, walked to my bedroom. My mom tells me later that day I got in trouble. She's like, don't be mean to your sister. And I'm like, what? Didn't say a word. But you scared her friend. How did I scare my... I'm like, I didn't say anything. I know, but you just looked mean as you walked through. I'm like, I'm sorry. This is just my normal face. I don't know. But like, we didn't always get along. But part of that was, I just didn't... Sometimes I would just not talk to her. I just didn't get along. So I thought, it's easier to just mind my own business and not worry about them. But that's also not showing them love. And it's easy for me to see, though, as we've grown older, we begin to, like, grow in our relationship together. That now I'm like, my sisters call me for things, and I love talking with them. I want to hear about their world, what's going on. And that's exciting for me because it's like I've watched that love for my family grow through the years. So even though we may have fought as siblings, it may not be that way anymore. But I think we can have those moments where it feels like that it's like that sibling rivalry that we're told to love God and love others. And you're like, I don't know. It's like hugging your parents, but you look over and you see your sibling like sticking their tongue at you as they're hugging your mom. You're like, you see the fighting behind the scenes happening. You're like, somehow we're supposed to get along. We're supposed to love God and love others around us. And I think sometimes it just takes a while. It takes some time with us being together. And sometimes it's hearing the struggles of others and understanding maybe why I am the way I am, why I act this way because of hurts that I have or things going on you don't know about. But we're called to love each other. And that's one of the traits that we're meant to have, is to love God and love God's children. That is a birthmark of a follower of Jesus. The second birthmark I want to look at then as a follower of Jesus is that we're called to obedience. That there's going to be a lot of things that we're asked to do or that God says not to do, and we're told to do something about it. Our obedience is a birthmark of a follower of Jesus. So verses 2 and 3 say that by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and we obey his commands. For this is the love of God, that we obey his commands, and his commandments are not burdensome. So this love that we have for God is going to show itself in action. So specifically in our listening and following of those words, right? Somewhere along the way, I've heard that there's a big difference between hearing and listening. And if you're a parent, you know this is a struggle, right? Your kids can hear your words, but they don't listen, right? So a lot of times, and okay, let's be real, guys. I don't know if husbands, maybe we're the same way. It's in one ear, out the other. And Sarah's over here like, I told you this last week. I'm like, did you? Like, I don't know. I don't remember this conversation at all. I know it's an easy way out, right? I didn't hear it. but I think we can be at that point where we can hear the words, like it can enter our ears, and we do nothing with it, right? It's just like an empty hole inside, or in one ear, out the other. But really, this idea of listening is not just hearing. It's to listen to what's said, to hear the words, and then follow it up with action. That's our obedience. That's the idea of what we're meant to do here, to hear God's words and then put them into action. So with this new birth in God, being born of God, there's a change of our passions, our interests, our values, what we treasure. You know, we're less wrapped up in those things, and maybe sometimes God takes those passions and maybe just shifts them a little bit. Doesn't mean that we have to like give up every hobby or everything that we love to do, but it might mean that we surrender those things to God. We submit our interests and our passions to God, and then in our obedience, we maybe live out those passions a little bit differently, knowing that as people are watching me, they know my family ties. They know where I'm connected, so when they watch me do whatever hobby or whatever it is, or even work my job or go to school, they know that this obedience that I have, or lack of obedience, is a reflection of my Father as well. So this obedience is something, though, that is not to be done begrudgingly. I love that it says here that obedience to these commands is not burdensome. That this isn't some weight that we have to carry, and holding on to this weight is not what God intended. Because later in these verses, it talks about this freedom that we have, or this victory that we have that God offers us. And those words don't, a burden and a victory don't seem to be the same. So when we live our lives submitted to God, it doesn't take away our struggles. It doesn't immediately make everything easier. But it does make God's words and his commands not as much of a struggle. Because we know that when he's telling us something to do or not to do, something to avoid, it's for our good. Like he's watching out for us. But our disobedience to his words might also lead us to disaster. So when he's asking us to do something, or he's asking us to avoid something, we maybe need to listen and to obey those commands. But I think this can be something that we can easily do, is to say, well, I'm just going to know all the rules then. I'm going to memorize God's word. I'm going to know all the commands that he gives us. I'm just going to soak up all the knowledge so that I know all these things and I'll be obedient. But I think he expects more than just knowing it all, more than just soaking in the commands and being able to blurt them back out. God's expecting that we carry them out. He wants to see the obedience. It might not always be easy things that God asks us to do. It might not be easy things that God asks us to accomplish, or something simple. It might not be something small. It might actually be really, really difficult. It might be things that stretch us outside of our comfort zone and think that, God, I can't do that. I'm not sure that I'm able to accomplish this, but I'm telling you, God doesn't ask you to do something that he's not going to give you the strength to do. And I think we can say, on my own, yes, I don't know that I can do it. But I know that if God asks me to do it, he will also give me the strength to be able to accomplish it with him. So living this life of obedience, it is a mark of the love that we have for God. 1 Samuel 15:22, Samuel even tells us that to obey is better than to sacrifice. That God is pleased with much more than when we obey his word rather than just sacrifice him. You're not going to do enough stuff, give up enough things, tithe enough, offer enough, volunteer enough, teach enough. You're not going to be able to do all those things enough to somehow outweigh our disobedience. God's asking us to obey, and that's far more important and valuable to God. Those things all can be good things, but again, if they're not done in obedience to God, we're kind of missing the mark. So God tells us these commands, they're not a burden. The purpose of them is not to make us feel the weight of punishment, but it's to make us feel the motivation, I guess, to live this life of obedience out of the love that we have for him. I think for a lot of us, I don't know which category you fall in as we look at these ideas of love and obedience. I think a lot of times it's easy to fall into one category, that if you tend to be that compassionate, caring person that I said I'm convicted by, sometimes that's your natural response. You're very compassionate, caring, you watch out for others. You tend toward that side of loving people pretty easily. For me, I'm the other side sometimes, that I have the tendency that I have to fight, I guess, not to just let it be all obedience. Be that strict rule follower that's going to lay down the law, make all the rules clear, and you got to follow it to the letter of the law. And I think it's easy for us to like say this, I tend toward one side or the other. But I think as John lays this out here, all in one breath, John tells us that we need to be both. That these birthmarks are necessary, that we show love and we show obedience. That we love God, we love his children, and then we're obedient to his commands. The last birthmark I want to point out then from this is that as we look at these signs of a follower of Jesus, is our faith. And we're going to see that specifically as we look at verses 4 and 5. It says, "For everyone who's been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith." So who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? So when we look at this as having faith as a birthmark of a child of God, we learn to have reliance and dependence on who God is, because we know that there are truths that we believe. And the truths that I'm going to mention here are from this passage. It says that Jesus came from God. We understand that Jesus is God's one and only Son sent here to earth, that God in flesh came to be with us so that we could witness him, see him, know him, and that we could love him. We also understand that Jesus is the Christ, that Jesus is the long-awaited Christ, the one that would come to redeem us. That we started in this perfect relationship with God back in Genesis, that we had this perfect relationship with God, but yet sin breaks that relationship. And we've had that loving relationship, but sin kind of gets in the way. And we can do a lot of things to think that we can somehow mend this relationship or to bring us to happiness again. We can chase after lots of things, but there's nothing in us that can bring us back to that by ourselves. We are unable to save ourselves from that brokenness and sin. And no matter how much we try, we're unable. But it's only when we come to Jesus, this long-awaited one, this Christ that we come to, that Jesus was sent to come and live the perfect life, to be offered on the cross, to die a painful death, to offer himself as a sacrifice to pay our debt, to redeem us. It also tells us that Jesus has overcome the world. And through Jesus coming as the perfect sacrifice, that lived the perfect life, he offered himself, given on the cross, hung on the cross, buried, and then raised again to new life, to overcome this sinful world, that we can live in that. And he gives us this gift as well, to the only way to be saved through Jesus. That then says that Jesus brings this victory. And we can experience this victory over sin when we submit ourselves to Jesus. When we walk a humble submission to Jesus, he's able to give us new life, to restore us in our relationship again with him, so that we're no longer broken. We can live out this victory in our lives so that other people can see it. So as we love God and then we love others and they get to see this living in us, they see our faith, they also get to see this restoration happening in and through us so that they can also be redeemed. So this is the faith, or this reliance on God, that we give our lives to as a living example of Jesus. And we have this hope in him. And so when we live our lives with these three things that we show as birthmarks of God, we have love and obedience and faith, people around us should see these characteristics within us. And they should be able to tie that back to the God that we serve. As the band comes up, I want to share a story of, there was a soldier in Alexander the Great's army. And this was back in the 3rd century BC. But this soldier was said to be a bit of a coward. That they would say that as they were on the battlefield, that this soldier would be like found like retreating when things got hard, or they'd be pushing forward and he'd be like slugging back toward the back as to not get himself in the way, and news was spreading that he was a coward. And so the story goes that Alexander the Great, the commander, is out on the battlefield when he sees this soldier doing the very thing that he's heard so much about, that he's cowering away. So he approaches the soldier, and he just simply says, "Soldier, what is your name?" The soldier looks at him and just says, "Sir, I share the same name as you. My name is Alexander." And Alexander the Great simply looks at him and says, "Then either you march forward or you change your name." He was not about to share the same name with this soldier. It wasn't moving forward as he was asked. I think as a Christ follower, we're told how to live. We are asked to live a way that follows after Jesus. And I think when we're unwilling to live that way, he calls us out to see if we have that same identity in him as he shows. So we're called to live faithful lives based on these truths, out of love for God and love for others, and to follow his commands. So I hope that we take this, his name, as a Christ follower, a Christian, I hope we take that seriously. And please hear me in what John is saying through this book. It's not all about the things that we do. We're not doing enough to win our way. But this is far more about the why we do it. We do it because of the love that we have for him, and also we do this because of whose we are. We understand that we are a child of God, born of him. And because of this new life that I have in God, there should be things that are true of me. So I love God. And I love his children. I obey his commands. And I have victory in the world around me because of the faith of who I am and whose I am. And this victory is not something that I have to step up and fight, but instead this is a battle that's already been won. A victory that's been had on Jesus' account. So church, I just ask you to know who you are, to know whose you are, and live as to show the birth.